Exodus chapter 4, verses 24 through 26. This is the reading of God's word. Now it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet, and she said, "You are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me." So he let him alone. At that time she said, "You are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your voice through your word. Oh Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly and that they will actually hear your word, so that your word, which has created the whole universe and which has created us as a new creation, that it will continue to make us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh Father, let us not just hear, but let us hear it with faith, so that your word will be truly beneficial to us, that it will increase our faith. And it will sanctify us, making us more and more like your Son. That it will free us from this world and sin more and more. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During the Lord's Supper, Lord's days, I go back many, many years and trying to find some sermons that I remember to be beneficial to me and to the people who heard it. So I bring those old sermons to you on this Lord's Supper, Lord's Days, because more than half of you are new. Who haven't heard these sermons. I've been preaching for a pretty long time now. Well, we're looking at Exodus chapter 4, verse 24 through 26. Verse 24 says, "Now it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord met him," meaning Moses, "and sought to put him to death." It is obviously a difficult verse. If you read from chapter 1 of Exodus, you will see that even before this event, when God had called Moses to go to Egypt and bring his people out of Egypt, Moses made many excuses, refusing to obey. Even then, God did not sought to put him to death. Even when God was so angry with Moses because of Moses' excuses, God did not sought to put him to death. So why now? Let's read on, verses 25 and 26. "Then Zipporah," Moses' wife, "took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet. And she said, 'You are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me.' So he," God, "let him," Moses, "alone. At that time, she said, 'You are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision.'" So what is going on? When God sought to put Moses to death, Moses' wife Zipporah gave a circumcision to their son and threw the foreskin at Moses' feet. Then God let Moses alone. God did not seek to kill him any longer. So God wanting to kill Moses has something to do with Moses not giving the circumcision to his son. Because as soon as his wife gave their son the circumcision, God let him alone. Now first, what is the meaning of the circumcision? And we want to go to earlier part of the Bible than Exodus chapter 4. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. This is a bit long, but let me read it to you. Chapter 17, verses 1 through 14. Let me read that to you. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, Abram is Abraham before he became Abraham. Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generation. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now, obviously, we don't have much time to go into the full study of circumcision, but it is very clear from what we read that it was the sign of the covenant between God and his people. Thus, not to be circumcised is to reject God's covenant. Thus, such a person is to be cut off from God's people. Because what? He has broken God's covenant. So circumcision was like a membership card. When you join a club, you need a membership card to get in. If you don't have a membership card, then you don't belong. You are, so to speak, cut off. Obviously, in the Old Testament, cut off means much serious than just not being able to go in. But you get the idea. It shows that one who has it is a member of God's kingdom. If you don't have it, then you don't belong. You die. So it is very, very important to have the circumcision, because not to have it is to say, I don't want God. I reject God's covenant. Now, obviously, the circumcision of the flesh that we are reading about in Genesis 17 was a type. And I already gave you an explanation of type and the antitype. The circumcision of the flesh was a type. It pointed to the true circumcision, and that is the circumcision of the heart. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, God says, "So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no more." So if we are looking at Deuteronomy 10, 16, circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no more. So the opposite of circumcision of the heart is to stiffen your neck. Thus, if you look at the opposite way, the circumcision of the heart equals to obedience. Because the opposite is to stiffen your neck. The circumcision in the Old Testament, it was a bloody sacrifice. It pointed to offering up to God one's life. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4a says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskin of your heart." Which means it is to repent of your sins to God and obeying God. So the true circumcision is the circumcision of the heart. The Old Testament circumcision of the flesh was pointing to the circumcision of the heart. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. So the circumcision of the heart happens when the Holy Spirit comes to us for the first time, very first time he comes to make us a new creation. That's when he circumcises our hearts. Thus, we, from a sinner to be a righteous, from death to eternal life, from a worldly person to a heavenly person. And this reality, this circumcision of the heart, is now shown in the New Testament time today by the baptism. We do not circumcise. That's not what we do at church, but we baptize. But both circumcision and the baptism point to the same reality, that your old self is dead and that your new self is alive to God. That your heart is circumcised so that now you live in obedience to God. So what does Moses not giving his son the circumcision show? Moses has broken the covenant of God. Outwardly, by not giving his son circumcision, outwardly he's rejecting the covenant of God. Now you could say the same thing of a person who refused to get baptized. Now, obviously, just getting your baptism doesn't mean that you are saved. And baptism itself doesn't save. But if you are saved, why would you reject the sign of the covenant, the new covenant? Anyway, Moses is rejecting the covenant of God. He must witness the reality of the circumcision of the heart by the circumcision of the flesh. By receiving the baptism, you witness to the whole world that you have been died with Christ and been resurrected with Christ. That you are died, your old self has died, and now you are alive unto God. Go to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Let's read it from verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, and you know the story of Joshua. This is when Moses is now dead. So Joshua is bringing his people, God's people, into the land of Canaan. So at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourself flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. So Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeharoth. This is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. For all the people who came out were circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that he would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Their children whom he raised up in their place, Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them along the way. Now, when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. Before these second generation Israelites, before they receive the land of covenant, they are to receive the sign of the covenant, the circumcision. And why weren't they received the sign of the covenant up to that point? Verse 6 tells us, for the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. They did not obey God. They were not obedient to God, which showed that they did not have the circumcision of the heart. Thus, the circumcision of the flesh that pointed to the circumcision of the heart was not given to them. And all those people, the first generation, all died in the wilderness. Can you just picture that? It says that 600,000 men came out. All died except two, right? Joshua and Caleb. But their sons, who now will possess the promised land, will receive the sign of the covenant. Thus, they show the reality of receiving the true promised land. The true purpose of Exodus is to worship and obey God, and that is accomplished only by the circumcision of the heart. And Moses, and you and me, we must learn this. This is the point. The true battle for Moses is not so much the battle against Egypt. The true battle for us is not so much the battle against Satan. We truly triumph over Satan by truly obeying God. Our true victory is not won by crushing Satan. God has already done that. But the true victory is won by obeying God, by surrendering completely to God. This is what Moses and you and I must learn. Yes, Moses could go out and kill all those Canaanites and every enemy of God that he meets. But he is not a victor unless he obeys God. There are so many people in this world who call themselves Christians. They don't really care about obeying God, but they say that they will do this and accomplish this and that so that I will glorify God. No, God never wanted the worldly accomplishments from you. He wants obedience. See, Moses could be greatest general or greatest leader, and he leads these people out of Egypt or whatever. But if he refused to obey God, then he loses. See, Moses, his whole focus is to go crush their enemy. So that he lost of the true focus that he must have to obey God. The true battle for Moses is not against Egypt. It is against himself. And by not obeying God, it is against God. In Genesis chapter 32, we meet Jacob. And I don't have time to read all this whole chapter. Go read it, please, later. Now, as you know, and maybe some of you don't know, but go home and read. Jacob is afraid to meet his brother Esau. So he tries to flatter his brother by many gifts that he sends ahead of him. See, Jacob has a plan. And we are just like him. We, like Jacob, sometimes act like God's job is to bless our plans so that we could have our ways. We have our own plans. And God's job is to obey us to fulfill those plans we have. Oh, this is how we live. Oh, yeah, I have planned to go to this school, and I have planned to do this, and I have planned to that. See, God's job is to just make that happen so that you could have what you want. Never mind what God's plan is or His will for you so that you may obey Him. We do not want to obey God and to surrender to His will. We want God to obey us and surrender to our wills. You see, the person that Jacob must be afraid of is not Esau. It is actually God. Rather than having his own plan and try to figure out what is best for him, he just surrendered to God. But he doesn't do that. He's afraid of Esau. But the person he should have been afraid of is God himself. He must surrender to God. Does God, you see in that chapter, he comes to wrestle with Jacob. Jacob and God wrestling all night. What happens as they wrestle? God dislocates the socket of Jacob's thigh. At that point, when the power that was sustaining him is now completely gone, Jacob understands. He understands that it is not by or according to his power, his will, his plans. At that point, man Jacob crumbles. You see, God came to Jacob to kill old Jacob, the sinful Jacob. The old self must die. Now, helpless Jacob, because he can't even stand on his own anymore, he holds on to God with his life. He would not let go of God because he knows that if he lets go of God, he's dead. He learns to completely surrender to God. We see the same thing in the life of Job. We see that he is triumphant in his battle with Satan in the early chapters of the book of Job. Even when all of his children are taken away, even when all of his wealth is taken away, even when his wife forsook him, he did not sin. Go to Job chapter 1, or just listen. I'll just read it to you. Chapter 1, verse 21. Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Whoa. Chapter 2, verse 10. But he said to her, you know, his wife forsaking him, "Do you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips.
Whoa.
Even when all of his children died, he didn't blame God. He was triumphant. When all of his wealth is taken away, he didn't blame God. He didn't sin. When his wife, you know, cursed him and left him, he did not blame God. He did not sin. So is all okay? With the battle with Satan, he's triumphant. But there is more important battle remains. His three friends come and basically tells Job that his sufferings are due to his sins. At this, Job starts to defend himself and tries to show how righteous he is. He is in fact saying, I did well. All I did was to obey God, and I did that. I lived a righteous life. Then why does God forsake me? Why does God make all these bad things happen to me? He takes God to the core and says, what is going on, God? All I did was to try my best to obey you. Do what you said. And again, God comes to wrestle with Job. You see, Job must completely surrender to God's will. If God's will is for him to suffer unjustly, then he must completely surrender to God's will. The same thing happening in our passage. God is coming to kill Moses. God is coming to wrestle with Moses. For Moses, there is one thing that is more important than winning the battle against Egypt. The true victory is gained only by complete obedience, complete surrender to God. He must follow God's will by giving his son the circumcision. What's so good about all of your achievements in this world when your life is not a complete surrender to God's will? What is so good about your achievements when your life itself is not complete obedience to God? You even pride. You are proud of all those achievements, and you even say they are for the glory of God. But what's so good about it if you do not surrender to God's will? God did not ask for any of those things. You know what God asks of you and me? Obedience. Obedience. Nothing else. He never asked you to be successful in the world. He never asked you to be a smart person. He never asked you for any of those things. What he asks of you is your obedience. God desires the obedience more than anything. We have our own bridegroom of blood, Jesus Christ our Lord. Colossians chapter 2 verse 11, and in him, in Jesus, you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Do you understand that? The cross, when he died upon that cross was, his death was Christ's circumcision. Jesus' circumcision was death on the cross. And what does it show? It shows his heart. It shows his willingness to obey even if he must die. At the Garden of Gethsemane, the soldiers came to arrest Jesus. But the true battle is not with those soldiers. It is not to just destroy those soldiers and be free. The true battle is with God. Am I going to surrender to God's will or not? Yes, I don't want to be captured and die on the cross and be separate from my Father. But if that is His will, then I'm happy to obey. Do you see the true victory? Do not understand the Christian victory in the terms of how world understand the victory. Even if you are the most powerful person and most successful person, or you do all these things that the world admires, if you are not obedient to God, you lose. You don't have victory. Jesus, for him, those soldiers were not his battle. It's all about, am I going to surrender to God's will or not? Thus, he says, yet not my will, but yours be done. And he is captured and died. This is what Moses and you and I must learn. God comes to wrestle with you. And even as you hear this message, God is wrestling with you. Do you understand? He's wrestling with you. He comes to kill your old selves. Even if he had to break the bones of your self-strength, self-confidence, selfishness, sinfulness, he will make you completely depend upon him and upon him only. He comes to kill you so that he comes to make you alive unto him. Yes, he is wrestling with you. Do you feel it? Am I going to surrender myself to God's will or not? This is the wrestling that we do all day, every day. But thank God, God comes to kill Moses. He does not leave Moses alone. He comes to wrestle with Moses. Until Moses obeys. He will continue to come and wrestle with him. He comes to wrestle with you. And of course me. He loves you so much. And he will make you just like Jesus Christ. He is so determined in loving you. Remember, the true victory is to completely surrender to His will. We triumph over Satan by obeying God. We obey God to show that God has indeed crushed Satan. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, I die daily. Do you understand what he's saying? I die daily. The first thing you get up, when you get up, the first thing you do, you die. So that Christ who lives in you will live. You die with your own selfish ambitions, self-confidence, self-strength, so that Jesus, who lives in you, will live today. Galatians chapter 2, verse 28, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Is this true of you? Then you must die. Because you have already died with Christ. So this strange verse that we're looking at, God coming to kill Moses, it is God's grace. It is His love. Yes, even today as you hear this message, God is not leaving you alone. If you're really, really listening, He is wrestling with you. I die to my will and live to God's will. He comes to kill us every single day. He comes to kill our sins. And I told you about Christianity in terms of already and not yet. Everything that we speak of in our religion is already and not yet. So it is already, yes, God has already killed your old self. And that self no longer lives. But not yet. There's this, see, you are already in heaven, but not yet. It's always like that. But with faith in already, you live, not yet. That's how you live. Faith in already. With that faith, you live, not yet. Yes. You will surrender to God and you will obey, but with faith that you have already died and Christ lives in you. So bringing out my self-will, self-confidence, it doesn't make sense because I have already died. I live unto God. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, your Lord who completely surrendered to the Father's will for you. And the elements that we see here, the bread, broken bread, and the cup, the wine, these elements show how Jesus completely surrendered to the Father's will. And He did that for you. And He's the one who invites you to His table. Brothers and sisters, join me. Let us come to Him. And let us completely surrender. Completely surrender. Realize. And believe that your heart has been completely circumcised. And we must witness that reality by obeying God. And even coming to the Lord's table is in obedience to His will. Glory be to God now and forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh Father, You have circumcised our hearts. You have killed our old self. Let us truly realize what has happened to us so that we may witness the reality of heaven that our Lord has accomplished for us. Oh Father, we surrender to You. We want to be like Jesus Christ. Not my will, but Yours be done, will be our confession to You. Bless us, God, because only by Your grace, only by the work of Your Spirit in us with Your word, this will be our true reality. Bless Your people and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.